guys, welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. I want to thank each and every single one of you who's tuned in right now. You're in for a treat because today we have a special guest who's an allergy mom, advocate, writer, speaker, and one of the board of governors at FAIR. She's doing some amazing work and is such a huge inspiration for the food allergy community and is here today to share her wisdom with us all. Introducing Hillary Carter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm so honored to be here with you today. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So we met because quote unquote met over email because Dr. Soffer, who is a university professor and is an allergist, he actually reached out and he introduced us to each other, which is amazing. He was on previous podcasts before and very wise man, shared a lot of wisdom. But yeah, I'm really grateful that we could get to chat today.
He is the best. So he is our allergist. I feel super lucky and grateful that he is taking care of my boys after sort of a long road, checking out different allergists in different hospitals, very happy to be there. And yeah, we were just there for an oral food challenge and chatting about all things food allergy, and he was raving about you. And so I'm equally thrilled that he connected us.
Yes, he's an awesome person. So can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So like you said, I'm a food allergy mom. I have two boys. They're 8.5 and 10.5. And as you may know, you may have felt this way when you're 8.5 and 10.5, that half is very, very important. You're very proud of that extra 6 months. So we literally just had their half birthdays. My oldest is allergic to peanuts, pistachio, cashew, green pea, chickpea, lentil. Thanks to the help of Dr. Soffer, we have food challenged every other tree nut. So he has really knocked a lot off of his list in the last few years, which is amazing. And then my younger son is, I like to say, allergic to the earth. Poor guy. He is allergic to peanut, tree nuts, dairy, soy, egg, wheat, all gluten grains, legumes, banana, you know, a lot of sort of random fruits, the environment. And so it's been really a huge journey for us. And like many food allergy parents, I was sort of thrown into it all at one time. My boys had their first initial food allergy reactions only 2 months apart from each other. So my oldest son had at the time a mild reaction to his first bite of peanut butter. And then 2 months later, my youngest son had a very, very severe anaphylactic reaction to his first bite of banana. And so we were really thrown into this food allergy world. Our world was turned upside down and we were just freaking out, trying to figure out what in the world was happening to our boys, how this was even possible. And so it's been a really a long journey, and we can talk all about it, but to get to sort of where we are today, basically, I felt like the way that I could be in control of what felt like an out of control situation was to get involved. So I got very, very, very educated on everything I could find with food allergy. And really the first piece of that was finding FAIR online. So food allergy research and education. And just slowly over all these last 8 years, becoming more and more involved, starting with, you know, just being involved with the local FAIR walks for food allergy, and then starting to work on a support group here in my local area, and then working on fundraising events for FAIR. And that ultimately led to being a part of the FAIR Board of Governors, which I'm really honored to be a part of. And now having this amazing opportunity to create content with FAIR, because as you know, the whole world is now online thanks to COVID and technology. So actually in the last year, a silver lining for me has been all of the work I've been able to do with FAIR in creating digital content. So it's been a really long journey, but really happy and grateful to be here. And definitely, you know, the greatest silver lining is that this community is amazing, and connecting with other food allergy families is a huge passion of mine.
Yeah, connecting with a lot of people, especially, you know, on my podcast, I see so many people and their work that they do. And it truly is inspiring because you get up from your seat and you are in a place where you can spread your knowledge and spread your tips and spread your advice and spread your stories to other people. and it could help save someone's life. Like, just thinking about that is insane. So, like you mentioned, your children, that's a lot of allergies. That's crazy. So what's their severity of those allergies? How severe are they?
They're very severe. So a couple of things with that question. The first, just our personal experience, is that my youngest son, if he eats an allergen, he is going to have an anaphylactic reaction. That's just what's been our experience. So he has had three. One was his first bite of banana, which was his first reaction ever. The second was to wheat in an oral food challenge, and it was his second bite of penne that just sent him right into an anaphylactic reaction. The third, I was actually quite public about, was this winter, he ate a gluten-free product that sent him into anaphylactic reaction for EpiPens, overnight hospital stay. And I got in touch with the company, and it was a big process, brought Farron. And ultimately, thankfully, we were actually back to Dr. Soffer. He said, make sure you keep the packaging. And the food company tested the packaging for us and found gluten in the certified gluten-free product. And so we knew he had a wheat allergy. And so the good news is we were able to actually pinpoint what it was. The bad news is we know that he's just incredibly, incredibly sensitive, because it must have been minute amount of wheat or gluten. So he is incredibly sensitive. My older guy, he has had a little bit better of a time. Like I said, his very first bite of peanut butter, he did have a reaction, but it was not anaphylactic. And he's only had two anaphylactic reactions since then. One was during an oral food challenge and to green pea. And then one was actually an exercise-induced reaction that we still sort of don't fully understand. And actually, Dr. Soffer thinks maybe it was more of an asthma attack than a food allergy reaction. As you probably know, there's so much gray area with all these things when you don't know what it was or why it happened. And it was an old wives' tale. He had had lunch and he'd had mac and cheese, which he's not allergic to dairy or wheat. It's always been safe for him, but he hopped right in a pool and started swimming. And lo and behold, started coughing and having difficulty breathing. And his fingers turned blue. And so we'll never really know. He eats mac and cheese all the time, but that is true. When your mother says, don't get in the pool for an hour, you need to listen to her. Yeah,
listen to your mother.
Learned the hard way. But point two of what I want to say to that is that in my experience and all the research I've done, there's no such thing as a mild allergy. And this is something that I hear sometimes and it scares me. There are mild reactions, but there are not mild allergies. There's all kinds of circumstances that go into what kind of reaction you have. It could be, you know, environmental allergies, or if you're going to get sick, or if you're older and you've had alcohol, or how much of the allergen you've had. So much goes into it. So I always say, even if you've never had an anaphylactic reaction, act like you have, carry your EpiPens, always be prepared.
100%. I want to actually highlight what you said about what it was and how it happened. You never really know. And it actually happened to my younger brother. He's six and a half, as they would want to hear. Six and a half. And he was at my grandparents' house. And it was a really, really scary moment because about what you said about being in control. We weren't really in control of that because my grandparents were there. He was just there. And I was with my mom and my sister at the mall because it was my sweet 16 that week. And so I was getting my dress and I was picking up my dress. My dad was at work. And so he was left at my grandparents' house. He didn't have the EpiPen at my grandparents' house. He kept calling us for some reason. He usually keeps calling us randomly. I don't know about your children calling you at work or whatever, but my brother always calls us all the time. So throughout the mall trip, he just kept calling us. We kept picking up. When we're in the car about to leave, he called us again. We're like, okay, I'm not going to pick up this time. Little did we know, he was calling for a different reason. He FaceTimed us and his lip was blown up.
Oh, no.
And we were like, oh, shoot. And this was, at this time, it was raining cats and dogs. We were rushing to get to my grandparents' house. We called my dad. He's like, I'm on my way. This is really, really scary. Panicked. Everyone's panicked. It's a crazy experience because you're not in control. You can't do anything. We were stuck in traffic and we couldn't get anywhere. I was like, I just want to run there at this point because we're not getting there any faster. And so we went there and my dad got there like half an hour before we did. So it was kind of in control at that point. I asked him on the phone, I was like, okay, so is your throat hurting at all? Because I heard that if two or more systems are involved, that means it should be looked into and it's an anaphylactic reaction. He said his throat wasn't hurting. Rashes, he didn't have any rashes that we can see on FaceTime, but we asked our grandparents to check him and everything, and it was just his lip that blown up. So my dad was there at that point. Long story short, we don't really know what it was. It might have been pollen, it might have been something. He's allergic to nuts, but it might have been some sort of pollen thing that he ate. There are a lot of nuts lingering around at my grandparents' house, so we never know if he actually touched it and then touched his lip. We don't know. So kind of to highlight what you said about being in control, I feel like that's really, really important to be in control and always carry the EpiPen. You know, going to grandparents' house and really teaching them how to use the EpiPen is also important. It's really, really a crazy experience.
It is. And I'm sorry that happened. And I know the helpless feeling, you know, when you want to be somewhere or get the help or get the EpiPen, it's such a traumatizing feeling. Thank goodness all went well. And yeah, it's so frustrating. I mean, we've been lucky to pinpoint our reactions, all except for that one with my son when he went swimming. We'll never really know. But it is frustrating, especially as you're trying to figure out what your allergens are or what you've been exposed to. I think that's probably the worst part is if you just don't know what caused it.
Yeah. And I also think that trying to be in control is not only being there, but being educated about your allergies and really making sure that everyone around you is educated. Especially yes. when we're traveling around, hopefully we can travel soon, but when we travel, it's horrible with food allergies because it's just so hard. You have to make sure you don't really know the area. You don't really know where you're going. And I was at Italy one time in 2018 and my sister had two anaphylactic reactions. I told the story multiple times on my podcast, but she had anaphylactic reactions. We didn't know where the hospital was. Kind of being in control is really, really important.
I come into this world as a food allergy mom being kind of a type A perfectionist control freak, which may or may not be a good thing. So it's been really hard on this journey to realize I cannot control everything, but what has definitely helped me is controlling what I can, which is all the things that you just talked about. So, you know, we make sure no matter what, that we always have our, not only our epinephrine, and we carry two per child everywhere we go. When we travel, I probably have 8 or 10. I'm not even joking. We have our Benadryl, we have our inhalers, we have everything we possibly need with us at all times. Both kids have a huge medicine pack that follows them around. And when we did just start traveling in the last few years, I always do research in advance, like where are the hospitals? Where are the grocery stores? We make sure and stay somewhere that has a kitchen because with my, especially my youngest son's long list, for our family, eating out is just not a safe option. For me, again, it goes back to controlling what I can control. And I know that if he eats my food, we're all going to be safe. And with his list and how sensitive he is, I'm just not willing to take the risk of somebody else getting it right or getting it wrong. But that allows us to eat out as a family and bring their food or to travel and to know that I'm still going to cook for them and to still get to do all the things. We still travel. We go to sporting events. They play on sports leagues. We have a very, very full, active life. I just always control what I can control. And that relieves all of our anxiety. It brings us peace.
I love that. Great advice. Moving from a state of panic to a state of peace. I love that. I actually have a really quick question. I know my dad sometimes feels regretful or remorseful after my sister, my brother, and I have an allergic reaction. Do you ever feel like that way? And if so, what are some tips?
So interestingly, I had not felt that way because my kids, the reactions they'd had either been a first food where I really would have had no way of knowing they were going to be allergic, or it was a food challenge where we had made an educated decision to take this risk to find out if we were really allergic or not. The thing that happened in December where he ate a packaged food, that was hard for me because I gave him something that I trusted that turned out to not be safe. That being said, the company and all of this, if you want to look at it, it's all on my website and on my social media if you want to find the whole story. But the company did an amazing job. They were extremely responsible. They were extremely responsive. They took accountability. They immediately wanted to test the product. They have made testing changes on the production line for this product. They made an announcement telling everybody what happened. They have gone into a partnership with Fair. Like, a lot of good came out of it. But also in the process, I was able to speak to the head of quality control, the head of communications, the president of the company. And I know that this should have been a safe product for all intents and purposes, the way it was set up with everything that I know. I should have been making the right decision as a mom to give this to my kid, just trying to find something new and normal for him to eat. So I have let myself let that go. And I would really encourage parents to give yourself grace. This is hard. It is an enormous responsibility, and you're not always going to get it right. We're human, and you're going to try, and you're going to read the labels, and you're going to call the company, and you're going to cook from scratch. But every now and then you're going to be tired, or something is going to change and you're going to miss it. It's not going to be perfect. And guess what? Like, when you grow up, even though you're going to be responsible, you're going to miss something at some point too. It is just a part of it. Reactions, unfortunately, are a part of this story. It's just how you handle it that really matters.
Yeah, definitely. Although a lot of great things I can see came out of that. It's amazing. We shouldn't really take tragedy to create change, you know?
And absolutely.
Thomas Silvera, I interviewed him on my podcast. He told me that. He said it shouldn't take tragedy to create change. And he's a very inspirational person. And I definitely am a strong believer in that. But it's amazing how that something so not so great at all meant into something amazing and something that really changed people's mindsets. I'm sure not only changed the company, but also changed the people in the company. It's like, oh, wait, maybe I should be more aware of food allergies. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do this. And so it really creates a watershed of ideas to a lot of people. So that's amazing.
Thank you. I hope so. It gives me back to peace. It does give me a little bit more peace that at least something good came out of it. I really obviously still wish it had not happened, but I really would encourage people, if you have a reaction or you're a mom or a dad and your child has a reaction to a packaged good, it's so important to follow up with the company. I think that doesn't happen enough. And in order for us to affect more change, we're going to have to get a lot louder and we're going to have to really have our voices be heard. So call the company, tell them this happened, ask to speak to senior people who work there, not just, you know, a consumer relations person who may not even, you know, have a care, someone who really can affect change, and make sure you let them know, because that's the only way it's ever going to change.
The more we speak about it, the more louder we get, the more people are actually going to hear, not only hear it, but understand it and empathize with it. So I love that you shared that. Thank you for that. I actually want to ask you, how do you think anything could have prepared you for being an allergy mom at all, for people who are new to this and dealing with that?
Well, professionally, yes. My background is public relations and corporate communications. So my undergraduate degree is broadcast news. Then I went to the other side and went straight into PR, worked at agencies, including healthcare PR for a couple of years, which was really, really informational and so important to what I do now. And then went into more corporate communications work, going inside an organization, doing financial communications and executive communications. So all of that has completely parlayed into what I do for advocacy work, which is writing and speaking and now doing this digital content. So in that way, yes. And I would also say that as I get to speak to different advocates, I see this story over and over where people use their professional background and then they make this beautiful pivot into utilizing that into some form of advocacy work. And everybody does different work and we need all the different work, but it's great to see how that works. As far as just personally, again, I do go back to being a little bit of a type A control freak. And I just jumped into this, you know, all in and educated myself and got us situated. And it wasn't easy and it took some time. I hope that I'm really as on top of it as I can be. I think, you know, no one ever wants to jinx themselves. I'm going to knock on some wood right now. But that being said, I would say that any parent can handle this. Any parent of any child who has anything going on is going to do their best to make it right for their kid. So if you are newly diagnosed and feeling overwhelmed, you're going to figure it out. No matter what you do professionally or what education you have or where you live, you will figure this out. Absolutely.
Yes. And you took action. That's the name of the new series that you launched, right? This year. So can you tell us about that? I love that mantra.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity. So it all started really when FAIR launched the Living Teal channel, which you can find on YouTube. They asked me to share my food allergy story. And I basically written it on my website. And then I sort of did a different version of it because, you know, visually you need to have a different version, but same story for that. And it was really well received, which I really, really appreciate. And so they asked if I wanted to create any additional content with them, which was a big, loud yes from me. And so I started talking to them about different ideas, and I pitched this concept of sharing other advocates' stories, because I said, first of all, I've now shared mine and I love sharing mine, and I will continue to share mine if it's helpful, but I want to talk about other people. There's thousands of us, there's millions of us, and everyone, you know, has an amazing story. So the concept behind it was, again, really talking about that professional arc, starting mostly with parents, how their professional and personal background shaped the advocacy work that they got into when their kids were diagnosed with food allergies. But we've also interviewed some young adults, and I'm really excited, spoiler alert, to interview Dr. Soffer coming up next week, actually. So we did season one earlier this year. I'm in the middle of shooting season two right now. And that will launch as a part of Food Allergy Awareness Week. It's actually Take Action Thursday. We'll be launching the beginning of season two. So if anyone's interested in participating, they can always reach out to me on social media. You know, my hope is that we can keep doing a series of these every few months. There's just so many people that I would love to talk to and highlight.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're doing amazing work, especially now everything's digital, as you said. A lot of people are just really focusing and watching things on YouTube. And I feel like if they watch this, they're going to learn so much, you know, it's going to be very beneficial for them. So that's
really Thank you. I really hope so. And it also came from talking to so many parents and young adults who really want to get involved, but just don't know how. Mm-hmm. So we always try to have really tangible tips from each person we talk to about how to get involved in your own special way. So hopefully there's lots of little nuggets that people can take away.
Oh, awesome. So they're not advocates yet, right? They're just people who are victims.
The people I interview are advocates, but they give tips for how to get involved. So if you're watching at home and you're not involved yet, but you want to be, maybe it'll spur some creativity and imagination.
That's awesome. So let's take a little intermission right now. I do this segment. It's called Fast Five Questions. And it's basically like 73 questions on Vogue or Ellen's Burning Questions. And you basically ask, you answer basically five questions, and it's going to be super, super fast. There's allergy questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. Go to fast food restaurant or takeout place that's allergy free for your children.
You know what? None. We just do not do restaurants, because this won't be a fast answer, but I don't want my younger son to be the only one who's not eating what the rest of the family is eating. And it's just not a risk I'm willing to take with his very, very long list of allergies. I do have two local restaurants in my town that I trust for my older son, but they're not chains. But it's rare.
Who carries the EpiPen in the family?
All of us. Everybody. Husband has them. My husband has them. I have them. My wonderful, longtime, forever babysitter has them. The school has them. My children don't self-carry yet, but everybody else has them.
That's awesome. One word to describe allergies to someone who doesn't have any.
Challenging.
Three essentials before leaving the house.
EpiPen, safe snacks, water.
Awesome. Step-by-step procedure during an allergic reaction.
First, give the EpiPen. Second, call 911. Third, give any additional meds you might need, Benadryl, inhaler. Fourth, make sure you have somebody here for your other child or children if you need to leave in an ambulance.
Love it. Awesome. Did you pass the five questions?
Did I pass? I know I was a little long-winded on the first one, but that
you
was fun.
You did great. Yeah. I love doing this game because as we get older, we kind of forget how beneficial and fun these like little games are that we don't really play because we're just like working all the time. So it's a lot of fun.
It's true. Well, I have listened to several of your episodes. I do love your podcast. So I heard you do that and I was like excited for the game. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So you mentioned that your children, so you don't want your younger child to feel left out because of the fast food thing. Does your child or any suffer from any bullying at all or feeling like an outsider? Do you see it?
No, you know, we've been really, really lucky. They're at a terrific school that does not allow bullying. And I'm not saying any school allows bullying. Obviously, you know, nobody wants that. But character is just a really important part of literally the lesson plan at this school. And it's just talked about really early. There was only one incident. So my youngest son used to suffer from eczema, basically from birth, which, as you know, is on the atopic march. It's on the allergic, you know, wheel of fun. And he's always had to deal with it until this last year, we actually started Dupixent, which has been completely life-saving for him. And now his skin is clear and beautiful, and it's just a wonder drug. But anyway, the only incident that has ever happened is that in kindergarten, one boy ran up to him and called him Infection Boy. And that was really, really upsetting for him and upsetting for me. But I will say I went into the teacher like face to face the next morning, told her what happened, and they really took care of it immediately. Like they made sure the boy understood that wasn't okay. They talked to the parents and everything has been completely fine since then. So I feel really, really grateful about that. The other thing is, for better or for worse, I'm glad I have my kids in this age. They are not the only food allergy kid in their class. They both have many, many, many kids in their grade with food allergies. So they're not alone. They're not even the only ones that bring, my younger son brings his own lunch. My older son can eat at school, but he's not even the only one. So, you know, it's just a time where we're seeing this is such a widespread issue that I'm hoping that will help with the bullying effect.
Yeah, great answer. I actually spoke with Dr. Bajawala recently, and she said that the best time to have allergies is now because this generation, there's so many allergies. I feel like a lot of people understand it a lot more, and that way they're more empathetic towards other people. So yeah, it's really, really great. Yes. I actually am releasing a book, a kid's book about bullying, a child who's bullying another child who has allergies. And that's coming out this summer. And it's just basically about how children's mental health. I feel like we really focus on, okay, are you having an allergic reaction? Like the physical things during allergic reaction, but we never really think about something mentally, you know? And so I feel like mentality is a really important aspect of people's lives. And so that's what I'm doing. It's really, really fun and exciting.
Oh, congratulations. That is amazing. I can't wait to read it. And we need more resources like that. So that's amazing. And I think what you're saying is such an important point, the mental health, the emotional health of everyone dealing with food allergies, whether you have them or, you know, your child does, is really a lot. And it's not spoken about enough. I think we're just starting to see that conversation begin to happen. So that's such an important aspect that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, definitely. I want to ask you a quick question about traveling, because I know that we will be traveling soon, hopefully. So what are some travel tips? I know it's so difficult because, you know, you're on the plane and then you have to eat food. People are having peanuts behind you. What is your tips and what is your advice?
Sure. So we actually decided to be really brave and embark on the biggest trip of our lives with kids last summer during a pandemic. So it was such a monumental undertaking for us, not only from food allergies, but also choosing to do this during COVID, that I did write an article about it, top 10 tips for traveling with food allergies. And that's on the FAIR blog, if you want to check it out. But the top line was this: first of all, going back to that being prepared and being in control. So I brought a suitcase of all of our non-perishable food allergy friendly food. We went out west, where at the time rates were super, super low, and we were very much out in the wilderness. So it was safe from a COVID standpoint. We weren't totally crazy. But I did research hospitals. I actually wouldn't book somewhere unless I knew there was a hospital within a good like 15 minutes. And I researched grocery stores to make sure there was, you know, a large grocery store somewhat nearby so that I could go get fresh food. We only stay places that have a kitchen because I do need to cook for my kids. And what I do when I get into any place we're going to stay, and, you know, this is maybe a little extreme, but this is, again, what brings me peace. When I have this control, I feel peace. I will wash everything in the kitchen. Like if there's a dishwasher, I'll just run everything I'm going to use to the dishwasher, or I'll wash it by hand. I often bring my own sponge and soap so that I know that like we're using our own products. And then everything I'm going to use, I put on the counter and I just leave it there. So I know that's what's safe to use for my kids. And again, I always have all of our medication when I'm traveling. I have like double or triple of everything we might need. And then just make sure that everything we do is not so focused on food. I mean, we rode go-karts, we sat on a bull at a rodeo, we went horseback riding, we went mountain climbing, like we did all these amazing activities. And it just wasn't about food. Like we're not going to be the family that goes on a culinary tour, right? Yeah. we're about the adventure and then just making sure we had safe snacks. And again, we didn't do very many restaurants. What was really great about traveling last year is that really there wasn't any sitting in a restaurant anyway. So my husband and I will still get takeout. We won't get stuff that's filled with their allergens, but that gives me a little bit of a break. But we just keep their food in control, always have their medicine, make sure you know there's emergency support nearby, and then go enjoy yourself.
Yeah, you eat to live, you don't eat live to eat. I think that's the saying.
Yes.
But whenever we go traveling, I love that you guys went in a safe environment, and it's really, really great to get away and to not focus about food all the time and food allergies. Oh, you can't eat this, avoid, avoid, avoid has always been the mantra. But kind of step out of that mentality and really focus on things that you can do. I love that. It's very positive. And really, honestly, I feel like what you just said keeps me at peace too. Like I don't have to focus so much about what I can't do, what I can't eat, you know, where I can't go, but more of what I can do. So I love that.
Absolutely. It's all about mentality. And again, controlling what you can control so that you then can go focus on the fun stuff and the real life. Cause that's where it's at. And we tried, you know, as parents, it is hard when you have to say no to your kids, you know, for food allergies, whatever the reason is or whatever the no is. On that trip, we really tried to make it a yes trip. So, you know, do we want to go to a rodeo? Yes. Can I go do rock climbing even though I'm 6 years old? Yes. Like we tried to make it obviously safe, but really make it about the experience for them. And it was a really important learning for us as a family and for me as a mom who, you know, oftentimes is sort of in control of all the details of this. I have an amazing partner, but the day-to-day details oftentimes fall on the moms, like knowing that we can do this and have fun. So I would say to food allergy families out there, don't be afraid, like take baby steps. We started with just little trips to Florida. You know, you can make it happen. Airlines, like we love JetBlue. You can always, on any airline, I know they're always changing their standards. Right now, the good news with COVID is that everyone is now doing what we've always done, which is wiping down the seat.
Yes.
and not eating because they're wearing masks. So if I were you, go travel now. This is the good time. But you can make it happen. I always educate with kindness and just, you know, anybody that I need help from, I just, you know, come at it as nicely as I can. And that always helps.
Yeah, well, first of all, I wish my parents say yes to anything I ask. I really hope so. But kind of moving to a state of panic to a state of peace, which we've kind of been doing on this whole podcast, are there any more advancements that you know of? I know you're like the governor of FAIR, part of FAIR and everything. So anything that you discovered that might help parents who have children with food allergies?
Sure. So I am really interested in all the research that's going on. And I, if I only had one wish I had taken more science classes in college because the science is fascinating. And I will be very honest with you. I am filled with hope right now. I've been paying very, very close attention to the treatment and research landscape for 8 years now. And I think we're at an incredible place. There's so much going on. There's a lot of work going on with multiple OIT trials in conjunction with Xolair and also Dupixent. And so you can Google that and find information about those. You know, early days for some of this, we obviously know that Palforzia was approved for OIT for peanut. So that will open sort of the gates for other pharmaceutical companies and for the FDA to know that this is possible. So that's great news for us. Even if Palforzia is not a good fit for you, it just means that like the threshold has been broken and there will be more, which is wonderful. And then there's so much interesting research going on with the microbiome and just looking at that connection to our immune system and how we might be able to sort of manipulate it or fix what's missing and treat food allergy that way. I know, you know, for my kids, I'm looking for more of a systemic treatment than anything. I just want to shut down the anaphylaxis valve. You know what I mean? Yes. Let's take that off the table. That's my number one hope. And I do think there's really interesting things in the works. So I do have a lot of hope. And then the other thing that I'm really excited about is that the Faith Challenge just launched with Bayer. So they're doing a multi-year, multi-million dollar, basically contest, research contest, to try to find another way to diagnose food allergies so that we can get rid of the oral food challenge. Because as you know, the oral food challenge is barbaric. Like having to eat something you've been told to avoid that could cause anaphylaxis can be stressful and scary. And it takes a long time. And you often have to wait many, many, I mean, we've been doing oral food challenges for 8 years. Like it just takes forever. So I think that is also going to be not only important to help us more effectively diagnose food allergy more efficiently and quickly, but it will also allow research to go through much quicker because they're not going to have to deal with that benchmark, which will be great.
Yeah, definitely. So they're more of treatments, right? So they're not a cure, but treatments.
Right. Yes. There's also the other piece that's really interesting is that FASI is a group, the Food Allergy Science Initiative, which you can also Google, is doing really important early science research, going back to really trying to figure out why food allergy is happening. Because we can put a Band-Aid on this, but if we don't really understand why our body is reacting that way, it's going to be hard to cure it. So there's a lot of very smart people working on it. And I feel very, you know, excited and hopeful for our future.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know that the allergy and the oral tests are just so long. My brother has done it a bunch of times and we just have to wait for hours and hours and hours. And I'm just trying to think out loud, what is the alternative though? I mean, we kind of just have to eat it and see what it is, I guess.
Yeah, right now there isn't. I mean, right now they call it the gold standard. You have to just eat it and see what happens. I mean, it's kind of like a game show. It's like, what's going to happen?
Who knows? You're going to get anaphylactic.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I mean, I'm joking a little bit, but that's obviously after blood tests and skin tests and, you know, conversations with your allergist. So it is done very thoughtfully, but it still takes a long time and it's still not an easy process.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing that. So I do this last segment to wrap everything up. It's called the Words of Wisdom. And you shared your story. Thank you for sharing your story. So do you have any last takeaway, advice, tips you want to share to the parents or kids who have allergies?
Sure. I think the theme of today has been control what you can control. That's been what has brought me peace. So speaking to parents, for me, what has helped me is, first of all, educate, educate, educate. Get yourself educated. And you know what? Don't depend on your allergist to do it for you. Even the very best allergists don't always have all the time in the world, except for my own Dr. Soffer, who does an amazing job chatting with us and really giving us his time. And I've had a wonderful experience with him. But early on, those initial new diagnosis conversations are hard. And you can't always get what you need from that first 15, 30 minute appointment. So you know, take control of it. Go to the FAERS website. There's so much information there. There's everything you need, really. But there's so many groups out there who are doing food allergy advocacy work. Get on social media, find the thought leaders, and just really get to understand food allergy. Second of all, for me, was getting my kids' school situation settled. That gave me a lot of peace. And it was not easy. We went through several schools because they were in preschool. So you know, I somehow was at the school that was the only non-nut-free preschool in town. So we switched and so on and so forth. And, you know, I understand certainly it's not possible to switch schools all the time, but whether it's getting a 504 or whether it's just really investing in your relationship with your teacher, make sure your school is a safe place for your kid. And then three, and this is really, really important, take care of yourself, because caregiver burnout is real. And I've experienced it myself. And you have to fill your cup before you can, you know, fill others. And it's really hard as a parent. You want to give and give and give, but it, you will crash and burn. You have to take care of yourself. So, you know, speaking of peace, like whether it's reading a book or listening to a podcast or going for a walk every day or having coffee with a friend, whatever you need to do, take care of yourself too.
I love that. And there's a reason why they tell you to put your mask on before helping others on a plane, before, instead of burning out.
Exactly. Yes. You cannot help your kid if you're passed out on the plane. So yeah. It's a hard lesson, because we parents want to take care of our kids. But I can't tell you how important it is. And now that my kids are getting older, I also realize that I want to model that behavior for them. I want to teach them to take care of themselves. So that gives me some peace when I say, I'm going to go walk for 45 minutes and take care of mommy because I need to get some exercise today. And then when I get back, we're going to color or we're going to watch a movie or whatever we're going to do, because I want them to learn to set those boundaries and I want them to learn to take care of themselves. So take care of you.
Definitely. I love that. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. You shared so much wisdom and I love the story that you shared.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every week. Peace out.